purity of it by way of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who enables us to know your word and to know it and to apply it to ourselves. So we thank thee for your great love for us. May we see that in the times of adversity and conflict that might come our way, that it's by your sovereign hand, through a loving hand, who loves us beyond measure. So may we be able to see that and draw strength from your word in our lives now as we review and as we read your word. In Christ's name we ask, amen. So I've chosen for my text in 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn there with me. Second Corinthians in chapter 1. What I would have us to see is that when times of trials and testing come our way, that the Lord is with us. And he is with us in a special way, for sure, by way of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that he has given us one another in the body of Christ. And so Paul writes, this is his second letter that's going to the church there in Corinth. I love 1 and 2 Corinthians. We find a lot of errors and problems that crop up in this particular church that Paul was initially has started there in his second missionary journey. But through all of that, there's a lot of answers, there's a lot of help, a lot of encouragement that is surely by the means of the Holy Spirit has come just for us, the church, even today, as it's been down through the ages, to address particular issues. But right up front, I would read these first few verses, 11 verses, and point out two of those, which I would like to focus in on. It writes, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is in Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining and helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. So as Paul went on his missionary journey, he hit particular towns before he got to Corinth. He went to Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, and in each one of those towns and situations, he was persecuted. As you know, the Philippian jailer, the story of the Philippian jailer and what took place there by way of what happened to Paul. And that is, there were those who believed, and then there was the Jews that were there, because he always had the habit of, that's what his pattern was, to go to the synagogue and go to the Jews first. And from there, tremendous persecution would arise, and then as a result of that, they would move on from one town to the next, one town to the next. And one of those was Thessalonians, with Thessalonica. Two verses I would want us to look at specifically. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And then down to verse 10 and focusing in on verse 11, who delivered us, God who raises the dead, delivered us from so great a peril, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us, you also joining and helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on those through the prayers of many. What I would have us to focus in on is there's a fellowship in the midst of trials and testings and suffering that takes place. There's a fellowship that we have in the body of Christ that is also important. Tremendous comfort comes by way of that. And as I'll point out to you, we all need that particular time of comfort. Now, while I was reading, you know, I love, as we're reading through, using McShane, and I happened to just go to, I said, okay, made a little excursion there. He went to Thessalonica. And there in 1 Thessalonians, it's interesting for me, as I noted, that he talks about these very things, talking to the church there. This is 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1. Our gospel, this is verse 5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, for you also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received, there it is, tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Tribulation and joy of the Holy Spirit. If you jump from there and come to chapter 2, not reading the entire text, verse 14, you see that? For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God and in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also endured the same sufferings, trials, and testings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews. And then if you come with me to chapter 3 and verse 3, start with verse 1. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we've been destined for this. What? Destined for this? Then I thought that verse that I memorized a long time ago, and see if I can still do it, Philippians 1:29, where it's been given unto you not only to believe, but also to suffer for his name's sake. That's what's been given to you and I. So trials and adversities is something that we can expect because God has so designed that by way of, as the gospel goes out, and that's what we've seen borne out, as the gospel goes out to people. So it doesn't matter whether you're a teacher or a pastor, a layman, whatever you might be, a student. It doesn't matter what class you're in, how powerful or weak, how good-looking you might be or plain. All are alike in being subject to adversity, sorrow, suffering, adversity. And all are alike in need of a Savior, in need of relief, in need of a comfort, in and through it. And so those are the things that I wanted to point out to you and me, because with what my family has been through recently, with the passing of Dad, I was able to live that out through you, because I knew you were praying for our family, for me, and what we were going through, and that God was in this in many, many, many ways. And you know, in the times of trials and suffering, the things that come our way, we're not alone. You're not alone. By way of the proclamation of the gospel is what Paul is talking about the adversity and the trials that came his way, which will come our way. They come your way and mine as well as we deliver the gospel. For all of us here in the Bethel community, we have unbelieving spouses amongst us, unbelieving children, unbelieving loved ones, unbelieving friends, unbelieving co-workers, unbelieving neighbors. And yet, as we heard this morning in Mick's message, They're walking in darkness and don't even know it. Don't even know it. Dead in their trespasses and sins, and yet totally unaware. Totally unaware. And then when you deliver the gospel to them, when you tell them the true gospel, many a time there's not going to be a positive reaction to you, if any reaction at all. So we can expect that even today as you deliver the gospel. Deliver it in a loving way, telling them the truth. Who is God? What does he say about man? What does he say about our abilities or inabilities? And then to point them to Christ as the only way. There will be conflict. We can expect that. So there are many other things that we can share within the body of Christ by way of suffering. But one of the things that's very special by way of it is the fellowship that we have. We could suffer together. And in that suffering, it unites our hearts, doesn't it? It humbles you, you know. It humbles you, brings you together. You support one another. So in that, the Lord knows how to break down the barriers of our self-centeredness. You need help, you know. And that's, we need encouragement by way of that. When you deliver the gospel, we talk it out. We speak to one another. And we encourage one another. Otherwise, we might say, oh, you know, I don't think I said enough the last time to so-and-so. Or I missed this point and I missed that point. Woe is me. No. See, we know that the Lord says in his word, as we encourage one another, not one word will go that will not accomplish exactly what he wants us to do. And so we strengthen one another in the midst of that. So you see, there's fellowship in the midst of affliction and sufferings that might come by way of delivery of the gospel. There's a unique oneness that can be achieved by that. And that's the relationship. We become a true body, caring, sharing together in our relationship in Christ Jesus. And so by way of that, we encourage and we comfort one another in the midst of those particular times. But surely one of the main things that comes by way of suffering or conflict that might come by delivery of the gospel is our relationship with God and how it is increased. One of the most valuable profits that we can have by way of adversity that comes in this particular means in our relationship with God. We learn to subject ourselves to Him. We learn to subject ourselves to Him. But you've got to know who He is. That's why Sunday morning with Russ's messages by way of it in telling us who God is. Remember the three? God is infinite. He's eternal. He's unchanging. And that He's infinite, eternal, and unchanging in His being, in His wisdom, in His power, in His holiness, in His justice, in His goodness, in His truth. Those are the things that you and I need to know as we walk this earth and as we share the gospel with all those peoples around us. So we grow in our relationship as we study the Word, as we learn more about Him and what He has said and what's in His Word. I was studying and reading recently in the book of Job. You remember, finally, God comes and talks to him, reveals himself to him, and the voice out of the whirlwind. Remember that? Job says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. Therefore, he says, I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. He has grown that much closer to God through all this adversity that came into his life. And so by way of you and I, that's the intent of God when he brings adversity so that we'll grow this way and we grow this way in our relationship to one another. So we begin to progress from knowing of God to knowing Him personally and intimately. So it is progressive. It gives us a desire, the Spirit gives us a desire to grow and share in Him more and more and more. And so by His working within us, we find that the common thread of thirsting after God, to know Him more personally, more intimately. Now the Apostle Paul talks about that when he writes in Philippians chapter 3. You want to turn there with me? From Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. chapter 3. Paul relates, but whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, of which he goes on to say in verse 20, he reminds them, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble estate into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. The power of his resurrection. I like the thoughts of the power that raised the Lord from the dead. You know, I like to focus in on that, and we should. If you've got time, you can read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, and that's one of Paul's focuses, that they might know of this power that raised them from the dead in Christ. And it's the same that raised us to newness of life by way of saving us. But what of this fellowship of sufferings that Paul's talking about? See, I sense a hesitancy on my part, from my heart, that I'm not so sure about this suffering that's going on here, Paul. But you know, the two are you can't be divided. You can't divide these two. The fellowship of his sufferings. Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. So it's not a matter of evil source with evil ends in mind. The suffering, you see, is to draw us closer and closer to who he is, to who God is and what he's done for us. John 16:33, these things have I spoken to you, says Jesus, is in the upper room, that in me you may have peace. Now, they're not at peace at that particular time as going to the cross, you know, within a matter of hours. Okay. They are very troubled, the apostles. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have or are having tribulation. But, it was an emphatic but, take courage, which is an imperative, a command. Why? And how can he say that? What's his ground? I have overcome the world. He's overcome the world. So in him, there's peace that surpasses all understanding. So when we deliver the gospel, we can expect things such as this, as well as the wonders of seeing people saved. But we know whose hand has done it. It's not ours, it's his. It's God's will and it's God's way for his glory. But we would also, I wanted us to see that this suffering entails more than the suffering for the proclamation of the gospel alone. It includes all the adversity that comes your way and mine as believers, that God uses for the ultimate purpose of glorifying himself, bringing us into conformity with the person of his Son to make us like Christ. And one of those examples that I thought of, Mick mentioned it this morning in John chapter 9 of the man born blind. You want to turn there? John chapter 9, the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's one of my favorite stories. Verse 1, and as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? That's an interesting statement. When I thought of that, I thought that sounds like Job's friends, right? You know, surely you sinned, Job. That's the reason why all this stuff has happened to you. No. Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents said he should be born blind. Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. Wow. And the man we'll see in the text, he says, once I was blind, but now I see. 30 years of blindness. Now mark this, 30 years of blindness. Can we say, yes, it's all worth it. It's all good, eternally good. All for his glory and my good. We should. By God's grace, we've been able to say, it was good that he allowed this to happen to me. It was for that man for sure, and for us as we read the account with regards to him. It indeed was good. How about Paul's thorn in the flesh? You know, there's always a question. What was this thorn in the flesh? I think it was his eyes. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Remember, he asked how many times? Three times. Paul, this is the Apostle Paul, right? We had a one-to-one encounter with Christ himself. He asked three times that this thorn would be removed from him. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. And he has said to me, says Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Wow. Would that be where I would be? Would I be content with that? Yeah, I should be. So are we willing to be a display piece for him? And some of you are. We've got battle days. We've got issues. And some of them are small, and some of them are big. But my, how God has used them to bring us together in prayer for one another and lifting one another up. So indeed, orchestrated by God, according to his sovereignty, for our good, for his glory, to bring us together, to encourage us, to comfort us. Job will later say, but he knows, God knows the way I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I shall come forth as gold. And boy, I tell you, how many times I've been enabled to encourage brothers and sisters in Christ by the gold that was refined in Job's life to encourage not only myself, but my brothers and sisters in Christ. And then I think it was Rick this morning. He was afraid he'd pick on some of my passages. But it's all right, Rick. They're all good just to repeat them, my brother. How about the Romans 8, right? Romans 8, 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So there's good reminders for you and I when tribulation, trials, and testings come into our life. How many times have I said, this is not good? You know, when the literal hammer hits the thumb, you know, or whatever it might be, this is, yes, it is. This is good. God's in it, right? He's with you. It's opportunity. Opportunity. And especially when we're out amongst the world, right? That they might see what our reaction might be. No cursing, no swearing. But coming alongside and encouraging ourselves and who we are in relationship. This is no mistake. This is not chance. There's no such thing. God is in this. I must trust him and encourage you, and you encourage me to trust him. If we'll look, we'll see throughout the scripture people being drawn closer and closer to a deep relationship through him through the means of adversity. The scriptures are full of it. In the Psalms, there's so many in the Psalms Psalm 23, which you're familiar with. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And how many valleys in our life? Boy, there's multiplicity. And the deepest one has got to be the shadow of death, the valley of the shadow of death. And he's with us in it, right? He was with my dad, you know, as he was going through that, you know. It was a hard time, but it was a rejoicing time too, all right? God was with dad through all of that and using him, even when he was incapable of sharing the gospel per se. One instance I'll share, my brother and I, there in the hospital with him in the bed. Of course, you know you got to share a room, right? There's always sharing. And my brother is reading scripture to my dad. And all of a sudden, there's a voice from the other side. May we hear that? May we hear that? Why, sure. Curtain goes back. And my brother was able to read the scripture and share the gospel with this young man and his nurse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. We're not alone. God's in this. He's with you. All right? Trust him. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Listen to this. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. All right? And he delivered my dad by taking him home. Right? Yes. Right. And he'd been through many as a young man. Boy, raising a family, right? 18 years old, how am I going to do this? One child, two, three, four, how's it going to? And the Lord brought him through all of them. And then he took him home. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. And then last month we had a verse, remember? Verse of the month. Behold, God is my helper. Psalm 54:4. The Lord is the upholder of my life, right? And if you read when that took place, it was when the Ziphites told Saul, he's hiding here with us, come and get him. Psalm 61, verse 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to thee. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Remember on whom you're standing, right? He's the rock. And when the psalmist David was attacked, this is Psalm 62. He says, my soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. Right. He's got you. But if you're like me, more than once, multiple times, you've slipped off the rock, right? He's never moved. You've just put a layer between you and him, right? And my brother sent these verses to me. See if I can remember them. Psalm 94:18-19. I said, my foot has slipped. Your mercies, O Lord, held me up. And the multitude of my thoughts within me, your comforts delight my soul. And the multitude of my thoughts is the anxious thoughts. You know, I've blown this, Lord. But he never loses his grip on you. The rock is still there, right? It's not you holding on to the anchors. The anchor's got you, right? He's got you anchored in him. Praise God, praise God. So God seeks us out many times, sending adverse types of circumstances, and he allows them to overtake us. For what purpose? To destroy? No. But to deepen and strengthen our relationship with him and with one another. Example, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. This is in the upper room, Jesus with the apostles. He's about to go to the cross. Luke 22. I hear your pages. I hear mine too. Isn't that something? With the Lord's Supper beginning in verse 14. Verse 24, they're arguing who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Oh my. Look at verse 31. Simon, Simon. Who's Simon? Peter, right? Great spokesman for the apostles. Behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, well, once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. It was pointed out to me by my Greek teacher one time. My memory remembers correctly. See that, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift you. See that pronoun you, that's plural. He's talking about the 11, if you will, minus Judas, right? Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed, you see that you? That's singular. He's speaking directly to Peter. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Whoa, praise God. And you, once you have turned again, strengthen your brethren. And that's exactly what he did. See? So when I fall down and when you fall down and fall away in your faith and walking, you sin. You seek restoration this way first. And then to one another. If it involves one another, we strengthen one another. And exactly what Peter was instructed to do, and that's what he did. So you see how God uses adversity in your life and mine? We can say it's a good thing. I thought James was a little off when he said, count it all joy, brethren, when trials and testings come your way. This is what he's referring to. See? The trials and testings come your way is to increase your knowledge and understanding of who God is in your life. And it's for us in the body of Christ. Uniquely for us. God makes no mistakes. So what we need to do, we need to trust God. We need to rest in Him. Trust in Him with all our hearts. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make your paths straight, right? Straight as to Him. Trusting Him, knowing Him. Now, in closing, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians at 5. That's right before Timothy. My fingers are sticky too. There we go. Verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you. And he also will bring it to pass. And then you see how he closes. Brethren, pray for us. And so we should. See, all these truths are ours, right? The security and oneness that God has promised, right? He's going to bring it to pass. We need to petition. We need to pray for one another in the body of Christ. And by that, may God be glorified in and through us in the midst of whatever the adversity might be. All right? Whatever the adversity might be. for God is in it. And he can glorify himself in it through us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. May we be enabled to see times of trials and testing, suffering, adversity, as being no mistake. It's orchestrated by your sovereign hand. And as you've promised, always for your glory. And we as your children, always for our good. Enable us to remember your promises to us, so that indeed we might be the salt of the earth, the light of the world that we should be. And give you all the glory and praise in Christ's name. Amen. And we've got time to sing, Mom.